Are there any other questions that you guys have about any of this stuff? Or maybe anything else? But we can try to keep it slightly on topic. What things come to your mind? What tensions? What questions? Whether it's you personally or maybe a question you've heard from someone else? Whatever the case may be, we can just kind of toss these around a little bit.
According to Jesus' model, what does he put the priority on for, like, what should be our priority? Our individual family or the body of Christ?
Yeah, that's a great question. I touched on this a little bit last week. But if we think of our family, right, what Jesus is saying is that the way that his Jewish audience would have heard this, right, would have been pretty shocking because they already had this idea that, again, my primary loyalty is to my blood family, right? And Jesus is saying his blood family is at the door, and he says, who are my brother and sister and whoever? He says, it's these people. Like, that was a big deal. So what he's saying is my primary loyalty, again, hear me out to the end of this. My primary loyalty is no longer actually my blood family. This is what Jesus is saying. My primary loyalty is to God's family, but certainly my blood family are the closest people to me within that bigger family, if that makes sense. You're still going to prioritize your time with your spouse. You're still going to prioritize the work you have to do in your household. And that just makes sense. But in doing that, the ways that we do that now, it's different. Where we're not just thinking that, oh, all of our life is just about me, my spouse, and the kids. But the plans that we make and the direction and vision we have for our family, it's no longer just about the end-all be-all is what's best for us. It's saying, yeah, we want to do what's good for us, right? That's totally fine, but my life individually is not just about me. I'm a part of something bigger, and our life as a family is not just about us. There's a bigger group that we're a part of. And that becomes something that plays into those decisions we make as a family and the things that we do and the contributions that we make with our lives, if that makes sense. And that's hard, right? And I think I might have mentioned this last week. It doesn't mean God never moves people, right, to different local families or things like that, right? God does move people. One of the ideas talked about last week is that it means we're willing to kind of work through challenges and difficulties, relationships that occur in local churches, right? When there's conflict or there's things that happen, our first response isn't to just say, okay, where's the door? But it's that we lean it, because we're siblings, we work through those things and we kind of grow up together and mature together as a family. And this family idea is one of the things that plays into that. Anything else?
How would you go about distancing an association with, you know, either whether it be father figure or pastor or whatever?
Yeah.
Church family or your personal family, do you go about distancing that association in mind with God or with your current church family?
Yeah. That's hard. I don't think there's any way that anyone can fully do that, right? That can fully just ignore whatever past stuff might have happened or gone on. And I think it's important for all of us, I mean, to acknowledge whether people share those things or not. I think it's good, it's almost healthy to assume that we all have some kind of relational baggage that's in some way connected to family background, right? Megan's a therapist over here. She was like, I'm not a licensed therapist. I've done a lot of study of counseling and things like that, but I think it's pretty safe to say that most people have some baggage or have some, again, this word gets tossed around a lot, trauma. I don't want to use that word lightly, but most people have stuff and associations, and I think it's good for us to all just acknowledge that, that sometimes, and again, that's why this is hard in our culture especially, because those things do exist. And so I think the beautiful thing about the gospel is that there's grace for that. And the more we are able to be open and transparent and, hopefully a goal is where we can develop the kind of relationship where we get to even talk about those things. When you do this, it brings something up inside of me and I'm trying to figure out why, right? Or, hey, when I did this, I noticed it seemed like it stirred something up in you. I'm curious, is there something there? Because it's not my intention to make you feel a certain way, you know? Like, just like in a marriage, right? Where we, hopefully in a healthy relationship, in a healthy marriage, a healthy relationship is not a relationship that has no conflict and has no baggage. A healthy relationship is one where we can, like, talk about those things and reconcile them together and process through them together and realize that, okay, yeah, we both have kind of similar things going on beneath the surface. We all want the same thing, but we have maybe different areas of baggage beneath the surface that sometimes needs to be worked on. And I think, too, the fact that we can look at Scripture and say, okay, regardless of what I experienced from my father or from my siblings or my family background, I can look to Christ, I can look to the Father and say, like, that's my Father, right? Jesus is my leader, and I can rest in that, right? And I can see the contrast and realize, okay, whatever happened to me in the past, the reason why it was hurtful is because it wasn't what God designed. What he designed is good. What I experienced was not his design. And at least cognitively, that maybe helps a little bit. It doesn't ever take that pain fully away, but it helps. It helps. So I don't know if that helps, if that makes sense. That's a good question. Both of those were good questions. Thanks, Kristen. Anybody else? Like abuse policy.
Yeah, abuse policy, but also just the accountability.
Yeah.
To new people when they come into the church.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, one of the things I mentioned last week was something we've been wanting to do and we're going to try to do in November. Now that we're in our house, woo, we finally got into our house and we're settling. But we want to make it more of a routine, regular thing to have, you know, people who are relatively new coming in and joining us, kind of just a casual evening where we can share a meal and just talk about, like, what is our DNA as a church? What are we all about? What are we trying to do? What does it mean to really say, like, yeah, this is my church, right? Like, I'm really a part of this church. To use that, right? I'm an individual, but I'm calling myself a member. I'm a part of this body, and I want to function and be a part of helping it grow and mature. What does that look like? That is something we're going to try to do in November and consistently after that. That would be something that would be communicated in those types of meetings. Also with something like that, it would be something we do kind of a public announcement about, something we would probably put up on our website so that people could see it, have a reporting system where someone could even send something in electronically if they felt they needed to do that rather than talk to someone personally, those types of things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Irina. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. Man, it's hard. Vadim, you're the man. You're good. You're a good man. You're a good man. Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, I think in one of his letters, Peter talks about this a little bit. We could look at that in a moment, but I think. Really, one, from the foundation, we think about marriage and that relationship, and we think about the husband being called by God to be the spiritual leader of his family. That doesn't mean the wife does not have authority in that relationship. Even going back to God's design, right? God's design was Adam and Eve in a garden. Did Adam have it? There's a sense that Adam has some degree of authority in that relationship, right? God made Adam first. Adam names Eve, right? That even just culturally, that's an authoritative thing to do. There's some authority there, but very clearly the picture is these are two individuals who are both entrusted with significant meaning and authority and power and calling. The picture is that these are vice regents. These are rulers and reigners, and they're both called to have dominion over everything that God has entrusted to them. So as a spouse, as a wife in a Christian marriage, wife has every right to call out your husband and say, hey, I think God has more for you in this relationship, right? Like, hey, you do that. And if your husband in a Christian marriage in this church is like slacking off, or you feel like he's just totally abdicating his role in our relationship, come and talk to one of the other men in our church, in our leadership, and we're gonna be like, hey, like, not let's come down on you, but like, let's grow together, right? Because this is hard. Again, talking about background and baggage, most Christian men don't have a good example of what that ever looked like for them. They just don't. Even in myself, my dad was a great, wonderful man, but just the spiritual aspect of things just wasn't a strength for him. And so these are things that I've had to learn and grow. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I'm not the perfect model of a Christian husband. I'm still learning and growing things too. And Carrie sharpens me, right? She calls me out. That's a good thing. And it's a good thing to do. If that helps. Is that helpful?
If we as Christians like believe, and like, and we do, we believe that this like God's version of patriarchy is like the best way for people, how do we navigate that culturally, especially in the realm of like politics and rights and what does a family look like?
Yeah. 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 I think the first thing that we do is it's probably not a good idea. Again, I mentioned this. Like we're not going to go out on the street corners and try to argue with people about why God's design for marriage is better than what they want to do, right? I think what we're called to do is live out what God has called us to, and that displays something. We live as lights in the world. When two people have this kind of relationship, it's like different, right? It's not normal. It's not customary. It's like almost kind of shocking and surprising when two people have a healthy relationship and live out their lives the way God calls us to. Not perfectly, we're never gonna do that perfectly, but people who lean in and do this, it displays something pretty powerful. It's in Ephesians 5, right, Paul talks about, like, this is a picture of the gospel. A man who has been given this authority and responsibility to lead his family, but who doesn't lord it over their family, but uses that to serve and to uplift and to empower, that's a beautiful thing. And that's a picture that displays the gospel to people. And I think just like, you know, we talk about politically, right? God doesn't say that only men can have positions of authority, right, in government or in culture or in society. He says Christian men are called to be the spiritual leaders of their families. So that doesn't necessarily mean that men have to be the only people doing anything in every sphere of life, right? Nobody's saying that. But when that idea of even the way we maybe do things in our own family, when it's, I don't know if you've ever felt that or anything, but I think we can, hopefully, the more we think clearly about these things, we can learn to communicate them in a way that actually helps people see the beauty in it. Like, I hope I even did that a little bit today. Because usually what people are responding to, again, are not the baseline of things. They're usually responding to an emotional reaction that they have to the abuse of things. And so getting past that is really difficult. And honestly, a lot of people aren't even interested in getting past the emotional response. They just want to say and do whatever they want to say and do, and don't really want to have a rational conversation. So you have to determine. I think a few weeks ago I used the analogy, when you're having a conversation with someone, you need to determine, are they wearing a baseball glove or a boxing glove, right? Do you actually want to have a conversation where we talk about, and I hear from you your perspective and try to understand where you're coming from, and you try to understand where I'm coming from, or are you just looking for a fight and trying to punch me in the face, right? And it's tricky, you know, sometimes you have to get punched in the face a couple of times and let people get their, you know, angst out, but it's helpful to kind of navigate those conversations that way, if that helps at all. Does that kind of get at kind of what you were thinking, or did I totally miss?
It's a loaded question.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there, yeah. Yep. And again, I think people will challenge the ideas of what, you know, Scripture says about family, and they'll say, no, that's wrong. What I'm saying is right. Another approach you can take to that is to say, you know, so you believe that certain things are right and wrong. Well, obviously they do, because they're saying that this is wrong and what they're doing is right. So the follow-up question is, well, on what basis do you determine what you believe to be right and wrong? And then, well, ultimately the answer is, well, it's what I think. Ultimately, that's the only thing that someone can say. And so that's a pretty weak argument, right? As opposed to saying, well, I understand where you're coming from, but in the Christian faith, it teaches that God created all of us, and as the creator, it at least makes logical sense that he would have a design for his creation that's good for his creation. And so what's best for me is to do my best to live in alignment with that design. That actually makes logical sense. But if everybody in the world is using their own personal feelings to determine what's right and wrong, well, what's for me to just say, well, what I feel is right for me right now is to punch you in the face. And can you say anything about that that I'm wrong? You know, like, probably don't say that to the person, right? But that's kind of the logical conclusion in that type of reasoning. And so you can kind of ask questions and kind of probe to help people see that ultimately we all have some working definition of what's right and wrong. And I can still respect this person, right? Treat them with honor and value and understand that, you know, they're coming from someplace. They're coming from hurt. They're coming from some brokenness. They probably experienced a lot of bad things from a lot of people. So we can be understanding and gracious and conversant with them, but maybe ask some probing questions that maybe they're not gonna on the spot be like, oh yeah, you're right, but it might stay with them. But yeah, like how did I determine what's actually right and wrong? Like why do I make those certain decisions or hold those beliefs? And you may have other opportunities to continue those conversations. Or even to continue the relationship where they continue to kind of see how this plays out in your actual life. Because again, a lot of Christian fathers and husbands don't have good examples of what that looked like for them. And most people don't have good examples or really know anyone in the Christian world who's got a really good, healthy Christian marriage either, right? So like they're waiting to see it. And so we have an opportunity, like, let's show people, right? Let's show and display the beauty of what this can look like. And it's sad that we don't have enough good examples of it. But yeah. So I think we'll close with that. That was good. But to end with that, if anyone ever has other questions or things that come up or whatever the case may be, you know, we want this to be a place where people can ask honest questions and get honest answers. That's what we need, that's what we want. So don't be afraid to ask questions or push back against something or express maybe some of that resistance or hesitancy or whatever the case may be. We'll grow through all of that together. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. Father. And we're grateful that we can look to you. We're grateful for the 10,000 million ways that you love us and you care for us and you're faithful to us and you lead us and that you've called us to be your family. You've adopted us into your family and given us all of the rights and the privileges and the inheritance as your kids. You've called us to be your family, and we're going to spend a lifetime figuring out and stumbling through what that means and what that looks like in any given situation or circumstance or season of life. But God, we want to lean into that because it's what you've called us to. So help us to do that for your glory, for our good. And that as we do that, Lord, that it would just be one of those ways that we display the light and the goodness of your design, what you've called us to. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.